Our study tonight is out of Jeremiah chapter 51, verses 15 to 33. God's sovereign power over powerful Babylon in judgment. Babylon overpowered many nations, including Judah, and it took the people of Judah captive. So Babylon was the great power that came to be feared by the people of Judah and many other nations that were around it. So Jeremiah's description of Judah's almighty God one day destroying this great and feared Babylon would become a description of hope and encouragement for Judah's people. So we view it for application. It's interesting that Jeremiah spends several chapters on the destruction of Babylon, because Babylon was feared. Babylon was the overpowering nation that could essentially bully all of the other nations. And it was a source of constant anxiety to other peoples around them. So I'd like to read the passage and then we'll look at it. Jeremiah 51, verses 15 through 33. He, that's speaking of God, hath made the earth by his power. He hath established the world by his wisdom, hath stretched out the heavens by his understanding. When he uttereth his voice, there is a multitude of waters in the heavens, and that causes the vapors to ascend from the ends of the earth. He maketh lightnings with rain, and bringeth forth wind out of his treasures. Every man is brutish by his knowledge, and every founder is confounded by the graven image. For his molten image is falsehood, and there is no breath in him. Their vanity, the work of errors, and the time of their visitation they shall perish. The portion of Jacob is not like them, for he is the former of all things. And Israel is the rod of his inheritance. The Lord of hosts is his name. Thou art my battle axe and weapons of war, for with thee I will break in pieces the nations, and with thee I will destroy kingdoms, and with thee I will break in pieces the horse and his rider, and with thee I will break in pieces the chariot and his rider. With thee I will also break in pieces man and woman, with thee I will break in pieces old and young, with thee I will break in pieces the young man and the maid. I will also break in pieces with thee the shepherd and his flock, and with thee I will break in pieces the farmer and his yoke of oxen. And with thee I will break in pieces captains and rulers. And I will render unto Babylon and to all the inhabitants of Chaldea all their evil, or their calamity that they have done in Zion in your sight, saith the Lord. Behold, I am against thee, O destroying mountain, saith the Lord, which destroyeth all the earth, and will stretch out mine hand upon thee, and roll thee down from the rocks, and will make thee a burnt mountain. And they shall not take of thee a stone for a corner, nor a stone for foundations, but thou shalt be desolate forever, saith the Lord. Set ye up a standard in the land. Blow the trumpet among the nations. Prepare the nations against her. Call together her the kingdoms of Ararat, Mini, and Ashkenaz. Point a captain against her. Cause the horses to come up as the rough caterpillars. Prepare against her the nations with the kings of the Medes and the captains thereof and all the rulers thereof and all the land of his dominion. The land shall tremble in sorrow, for every purpose of the Lord shall be performed against Babylon, to make the land of Babylon a desolation without an inhabitant. The mighty men of Babylon have forborne to fight. They've remained in their holds. Their might hath failed. They became as women. They have burned their dwelling places. Her bars are broken. One post shall run to meet another, one messenger to meet another, to show the king of Babylon that his city is taken at one end, and that the passages are stopped, and the reeds they have burned with fire, and the men of war frightened. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, the daughter of Babylon is like a threshing floor. It is time to thresh her, yet a little while, and the time of her harvest shall come. In preparing to predict powerful Babylon's fall, Jeremiah mentioned the massive power of Judah's God. This is a very basic, very elementary lesson, but it's extremely important. Too many times, even the people of faith put God in a little box. We can find him. He's too small, and our problem is too big. And that's why we run into problems, struggles with faith. We should never do that. Our God is all-powerful. Well, anyway, preparing to predict powerful Babylon's fall, Jeremiah mentioned the massive power of Judah's God, showing his supremacy over the false gods of the Gentile nations, including that of Babylon. Jeremiah declared that Judah's God made the earth by his power and wisdom, and by his understanding stretched out the heavens in their massive distance. When Judas God uttered his voice, there was a tumult of waters in the heavens in the form of thunderstorm, and he made the mists to rise from the ends of the earth, formed lightning for the rain, and brought forth the wind of the storm from his storehouses. This description of Judah's God was a polemic, or an attack, against the pagan god Baal, whom the Canaanites held to be the god of the storm. So Jeremiah likened Judah's God to be the true god of the thunderstorm as opposed to Baal. It's amazing how many times in the Psalms, as well as here in Jeremiah and other passages, you'll have references to God in connection to a storm. That is because the writers of Scripture are likening God as the true God of the thunderstorm as opposed to Baal. So underneath is a polemic, is an attack against the false god Baal whenever you're dealing with God in storms. Something to keep in mind. Jeremiah then described the stupidity and the ignorance of each goldsmith who formed images of pagan gods. See, he had in mind, he had the idea of idolatry. For there was not even the breath of life in them, in contrast to Judah's almighty creator God. You've got an almighty creator God who takes the wind, the very powerful wind of a powerful storm, and he lets it out of his storehouses. And yet, these false gods, they don't even have wind. They can't even breathe. There's no air. You put your hand up to their nose, there's no breath. It's not even coming out. So the contrast between Israel's God and the lifeless gods that are made by goldsmiths is phenomenal here. Such idols are worthless, the work of deception that would perish in the time of judgment. However, Judah's God, in contrast, formed all things, and Israel is the tribe of his inheritance as the Lord of hosts, the Lord of the armies of the entire earth. Well, the Lord then referred to powerful Babylon as his mere tool of judgment on the nations, noting that Babylon's power rested not in its innate power as a nation, but in God's use of Babylon to judge her. It's interesting, many times here in this passage, God refers to Babylon as his hammer, and he's going to strike, he's going to break things up. One of the weapons that the Babylonians in particular had was a war club. And we've actually seen skeletons that have been crushed, that they've unearthed as a result of the Babylonian invasion and so forth. And they would just quickly dispatch people there with these war clubs. And so the idea of striking and everything is something that is important, and God is demonstrating his judgment. So it was God that was using Babylon, not Babylon that had the power. God described Babylon as his hammer, a weapon of war by which he broke in pieces the nations and the kingdoms of Jeremiah's day. Nine times in Jeremiah 51, 20 to 23, does Jeremiah use the word shatter to indicate the extent to which God had used Babylon for judgment on the nations, as God used her to shatter the horse and his rider, the chariot and charioteer, man and woman, old man and youth, young man and young woman, the shepherd and his flock, the farmer and his team, governors and commanders. It's amazing here. And for keep in mind, as Jeremiah predicts this destruction of Babylon, this is almost incomprehensible for people in Jeremiah's day, because Babylon is so powerful and was going to be used as a hammer, but God's going to deal with her. However, Judah's almighty God would destroy even powerful Babylon, making its king and its soldiers terrified and leaving the city a place of utter destruction. God declared that he would repay Babylon and all the inhabitants of her land before the eyes of men for all the evil they had done in Zion. See, God had used Babylon to punish his people, but there was a law that said if anybody except the priests trespasses on the courts of the Lord, that's the death penalty. Well, what did the Babylonians do? They came in and they destroyed the temple. It's a death penalty. So that's why he's going to get the Babylonians. The Lord declared that he was against Babylon, referring to her as O destroying mountain, which destroyed the whole earth around Judah. For he would stretch forth his hand against her, figuratively roll her down from her lofty crags and make her a burnt offering in utter destruction. The destruction would be so total that no stone would be taken from a corner of a building for use in another building, and no stone for another foundation, but the city would be a lasting waste. Well, that's very unusual. Normally, when they would destroy buildings, if there were stones that were salvageable, because it took a lot of work to chisel these stones out of rocks and so forth. You would salvage these stones and you would use them in another foundation, you know, but they're not going to do that. And it's interesting, if you go to Babylon today, they still have the ruins of Babylon. It's a huge city, but it's absolutely desolate. You've got little wild animals there, lizards and owls and things. You'll have some Arabs that go by, but even the Arabs view the place as a place that is cursed. There's no water supply there, but you have a number of these buildings, and you still see two stories of them, but they're all, it's just ruin. It's like somebody came across with a giant hurricane and just leveled the city, and there are no people there. It's, you know, it's amazing. And to think that this was a city that was feared throughout the Middle East, and now there's nobody there. Accordingly, God called for the invading nations to prepare to attack Babylon, noting that Babylon would tremble and writhe in pain, since God had purposed to make her a desolation without inhabitant. Babylon's warriors would cease fighting, their strength having failed, becoming as terrified women, and her king would receive messenger after messenger, bearing bad news of the city's complete fall and its panic and defeat. One of the seven wonders of the world, of the ancient world, was the Hanging Gardens of Babylon, and they were going to be utterly destroyed. God likened Babylon to a threshing floor that would be truly become trodden down, for the time of her harvest and judgment would surely come. So, though powerful Babylon destroyed many nations, and Judah like an overpowering force, she was just a tool of judgment in God's hands that after he had finished using, he would in turn utterly destroy. So may we not get dismayed at seemingly overpowering evil, for God is greater and will deal fully with it. Last Sunday, one of our members, one of the men in the church, came up to me after the service and said, "Pastor, appreciated the sermon and all that, but do you ever get tired when you come in to start preparing a message in your office? Do you ever get tired of trying to prepare messages and you sit down and you wonder, what in the world am I going to do with this passage?" I thought, I'm going to answer this man very candidly. And I said, there was a time when, yes, I did that. I would do that. Because it seemed like the fountain was just drying up. But remember Revelation chapter 3, verse 18, where Christ predicts and tells the messenger of the church to buy from me gold tried in the fire to be rich, eye salve to anoint your eyes, you know, and so forth, and white garments. When I started to pray that prayer, the Lord started allowing trials to come up in my life, one after the other, serious ones. And I found that the only solution to those trials was the next passage that I was due to study and to prepare a lesson. And so I would prepare the lesson. And that's how the Lord led me. And the Lord has been doing that consistently now for at least the last 35 years, I think it is, 34, 35 years. And what's interesting, as I was getting ready to prepare the message, the morning message that were coming up, this next Sunday morning message, I went through it, and we've had a series of trials, included with that as the passing of her grandson, of course. But there have been a series of trials, one right after the other, boom, 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 like that. And my wife finally recognized that the Lord had to be involved and prayed about it when we were thanking the Lord for our lunch today and everything. And I realized what the lesson was. It was an application of the message that I'm preparing for this coming Sunday. Intense. But the Lord really hammered home. He says, "Don, what you told that man is so true. Never forget it. And I want you to follow me. But I'm going to allow challenges to come up, needs to come up in your life, so that you will stay tuned to what I want you to write down, what I want you to make for the people of God." Contemplating the power of God. And there's another thing. This message was designed for last Wednesday night. As you know, it was canceled because we had a snowstorm or ice storm, whatever it was. So this is actually, should have been last week, but here it was for this week. And it's a very applicable, once again, for this week. So even though this is a very basic lesson, take it from me, we have a very powerful God. And he is very willing to use his power whenever he has to, whenever he feels he needs to. And he's willing to use it on us whenever he feels that we need it. And, you know, take it from me, he's very, very apt to do that. So what we need to do is to rejoice in the power of God and rest in it. But at the same time, since he is such a powerful God, we need to take him seriously and the assignments that he gives us in life seriously, because he will hold us accountable to do his will.